Well, thanks, Paul. That was a great introduction. Today I'm here with Sandro Minetti, and Sandro is involved in an event that's occurring this week up in the LA area, Beverly Hills. So I'm going to let him tell you who he is and what he's doing. So, Sandro, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. You know, as your listeners know, there is technology innovations and changes in the regulatory landscape have unlocked new financing models for entrepreneurial ventures. And so I am hosting a forum called the Alternative Funding Forum on November 11th in Los Angeles, which basically explains all the new developments in this world. And my backstory is that I've had a history of hosting major events of all kinds. I am from a journalistic background. Currently, I work for CNN International, Entity Magazine. I'm a past managing editor of the Los Angeles Business Journal. It's business and entrepreneurship that fascinates me most. Hmm. And so I love coming back each year to host this event because entrepreneurs are the most interesting people in the world.
Yeah, they are actually. I am one and have been one, and I've worked with a lot of them also being in a venture capital firm. So tell me a little bit about, or tell the audience a little bit about, what can they expect when they come to this event?
Well, this is unique among business conferences because it brings together, under the tent, if you will, all aspects of the finance industry. This is the room where you will find angel investors and VCs and entrepreneurs and specialists in so many different areas. And because there's such a wide range of funding, you can hear about peer-to-peer lending platforms, EB-5, business grants, VC funds, the whole range of funding alternatives. So this is for people who have got a great business idea and are looking for the different ways to fund it. Or it's for the people who are looking out for the great new business ideas. So you bring the investors and the entrepreneurs together. And it's a sort of it's a pitch-free environment, and it's an educational environment as well. And I think that's what sort of sets it apart. Think of it as a giant think tank with a practical use, and it's all in one day.
Well, one of the things that I've seen is, and maybe you could give your definition of it. I see that in the documentation using the term crowd finance. Would you explain to people what your understanding of crowd finance is?
Yeah, well, you're familiar with platforms like Kickstarter or Indiegogo. You know, that's crowdfunding platforms. You're familiar with terms like crowdsourcing, which is the sourcing of anything from a crowd, you know, funds, money, services, ideas, information. So crowd financing is how to get financing from the crowd, from the general public. We don't mean just from angel investors. And it's mainly about how things have changed in this space this year with the change in the regulatory landscape. Because, of course, it used to be, you know, before the bad old days of May 2016, you needed to go to an angel investor, or you needed to go to Indiegogo or Kickstarter. But now, last year's Securities and Exchange Commission approval of the final rules of the Jobs Act mean that uncredited investors now have a legitimate opportunity to participate in private capital raising. And so the forum explains that. Basically, the new equity funding rules have brought in millions of prospective investors, and fintech-enabled crowdfunding is poised to become the largest venture financing industry, surpassing venture capital and traditional angel investing. If you look at what we spend our money on in this country, $73 billion a year is spent on lottery tickets. but according to Viktoria Sovchenko, PhD, who's the architect of this forum, equity crowdfunding is going to be responsible for $123 billion. So it shows there's so much money out there. There's new funding sources. And if anyone is starting to lose hope, well, don't. We've got plenty of hope for you.
I think it's all really very well spoken of. And another thing about this, though, is one of the major differentiations when you're looking at something like Kickstarter or Indiegogo is you're contributing money, but you're not owning any ownership in the company. It's not equity. And
yes.
That's one of the big differences. Go ahead.
You get a T-shirt and a cap. But the difference is here, now you get ownership in the company. And so the question is, for the entrepreneurs, how much equity do you want to give up? I mean, it's a lot different between giving away a baseball cap and giving away 10%. And so we have experts at the forum here who will advise you and answer your questions and say how much to give up, why, what the consequences are. And we're all learning together. This is so new. So we're going to hear examples from people who've done this about the do's and don'ts of this new financing landscape.
Well, you know, another thing that entrepreneurs need to keep in mind, this is an either-or situation. There is the possibility that you could be using crowdfunding to be able to get some equity dollars into the company to do things with, and crowdsourcing to do things like Pebble Watch, who get a lot of money coming in to help finish the product. And the people who contributed got the watches if they put in a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
So one doesn't overshadow the other, because they can be used in consolidation with each other to help you get the kinds of dollars that you need inside your company. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that there was you were associating building brand loyalty via stock ownership. I really hadn't heard anybody talk about that. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think it's probably because now that somebody has ownership in the company, if they use crowdfunding, because they've got some sort of equity, that now they may be more loyal to it?
They are more invested, mm-hmm. if you'll pardon the pun. All of this is about tapping into the power of the crowd. But, of course, we're all about getting repeat customers, repeat business, coming back for further investment in the future as the business needs it. And sort of being part of the opportunity, part of the family, growing with the business as well. And this is the brand loyalty comes out when you feel more invested. You know, that if you look at the most successful crowdfunding campaigns, they've never talked about the money. They've always talked about the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Everybody, essentially, as human beings, wants to belong to something, you know, whether it's a private members club or an organization or a business. And now you're under that new tent, that new umbrella organization. And it's in everyone's interest to help and succeed and to stay with it long term.
Yeah, you bring up a very interesting point about, you know, how the companies or the brands actually talk about what it is that they're doing. I just was recently in some training on being a more effective speaker, where the person doing the training said that you should really, in talking about what you're doing, talk about the destiny. What is it that they're getting? What's the transformation? Not how are they going to get there? So if you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, you're going to have a different kind of a watch and it's going to do X and Y and Z. But if the way that it's positioned is this is a breakthrough technology, you have the ability to be in there and learn what's going on. Obviously, people are going to want to go out and tell their friends about it. So I guess that's another way of their building brand loyalty.
They are. And it's also about solving a problem.
Right.
In fact, if you're looking for financing in anything, identify the problem and show that you have the solution.
Right.
Because if you look traditionally over the projects, the new businesses that have attracted the most cash, they have all been problem solved. You know, or alternatively, they have taken an existing industry and built upon it to create something new. Examples I would give would be Airbnb, Uber. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, Airbnb took the accommodation industry and found a whole new level for that. Uber took the taxi industry and found a whole new level for that. Other alternatives, they've identified sort of problems, you know. So you either solve an existing problem or you create a new business in an existing space. And so how you present these ideas is so very important. And that's why I think events like the Alternative Funding Forum are so important to learn from the experts, because we can all have a great idea, but how do you present it? Once you are in front of the person who's got the money, what's your elevator pitch? What are the key things they want to hear? Right. And so by coming together and learning together, we can empower everyone in the audience to understand the wide range of venture financing and how you can get that financing for your own project.
Well, you know, I agree with that. And one of the things that we've always talked about at California Capital Partners is this concept about how few entrepreneurs actually understand anything about their investors. And angels are different than venture capitalists and different than private equity and even the banks and what they're doing and what you need to be able to do and how you need to be able to show what you're doing if you're looking for a bank loan. So having some place where somebody's talking about all these different alternative financing situations and who's involved with it and what's required will be very beneficial to an entrepreneur. I just was thinking as you were talking too that many times they've got an idea for a business, but before they can go get equity investors, they actually have to have the product or at least something that's demonstrable about the product. Crowdsourcing allows you to do that. You can go out and you can raise money to get to the point where you can show it. By the way, if you have, you know, like 200 people that have given you $500 to be able to get the product that you're developing, that's sales. And a lot of times investors will say, well, how, you know, do you have any sales? And he's actually counted sales. So having this kind of information, if you're an entrepreneur and you're in this space, I would recommend that you go and sit through this, make as many connections and have as many conversations as possible so that you can get the most out of your development.
Yes, I agree. And that's a great question about have you got any sales? I mean, you just need to watch TV Shark Tank. Okay. And you know, pretty much on every episode, there'll be a 4-minute pitch, then there'll be a pause, and the question is, what sales have you got? And that's where it sort of rises or falls. So yes. Although there's all these different kind of investors, they are looking for that. So, you know, at first, yes, you want to reach out for sort of friends and family to get cash, and then go to the crowd. You know, yes. Find people close to you who believe in you in your project, and then go wider. And then you can show a pattern that, oh, it's not just Auntie Maureen and Uncle Dave who are chipping in some of their 401k to help you out. It is actually people who believe in the idea. And once you've got that, then, you know, you're golden. You can really soar if you say, as I said earlier, your product is solving a problem. You need to be able to demonstrate the problem. You need to be able to demonstrate the product. And you need to be a salesperson as well. You need to be able to say how it works, why it works, identify the audience, who that is. Now, this can all seem overwhelming, and none of us have all these skills at the same time.
Sure.
But by coming together, it's you know, anyone who succeeds in business knows that if you don't know something, you know, hire people who do. Yeah. Or when you're starting out, get around people who can answer the questions. And this is the safe environment at the Alternative Funding Forum, and it's been so nice. I mean, the panels are great. You know, we have 40 world-class experts in their field. But what's also great is the networking.
Right.
Because, you know, there's something for everyone, and you come and sample the panels, and then you meet these experts afterwards, and you're able to see how they can help you directly. And they're so generous with their time, because yeah. What, you know, surprised me from the start and continues to delight me as I go forward in now the fifth year of the Alternative Funding Forum is the generosity of spirit, you know, how people want to help other entrepreneurs succeed. And, you know, it can be such a cutthroat business sometimes, but it's really almost life-affirming to see that this helping hand is offered to so many people.
Yeah, I think that it's really great when somebody goes someplace and like an entrepreneur and they actually find out that people answer questions. I have found in the years that I've been involved in this that in many cases, first of all, entrepreneurs don't know who their investors are. And second, they won't ask questions. What they don't understand is we'll answer almost anything, but we're not going to go search you out and drag you out and figure out what questions you want. You have to come to us and say, this is what I'm interested in.
Well, that's where my role comes in, because as moderator of the forum, I have to listen to the panels and just make sure that it doesn't become promotional in any way. You know, as soon as anyone starts pitching their own product, that's when I jump in. And as an experienced host, what I have to do is put myself in the mind of the audience members. What do they want to hear? And if it's not being said by the panel, that's when I jump in and ask the question. Because, as you say, a lot of people, you know, don't ask the question. They may be too shy to. They may think it's a stupid question. There's no such thing as a stupid question. But because there is that reticence, my role as host is to jump in and ask them those questions. You know, I've got 20 years high-level journalist experience in interviewing a few of the most powerful and famous people in the world. So, you know, I know how to ask an open-ended question that is going to get the answer the audience wants. So, you know, if you're at the forum, if you're too shy to speak, come and find me, Sandro and Betty. Tell me what you want to know. But we also go to the audience for a show of hands for Q&As. But you know how it is with sort of human nature. It always tends to be that the loudest voice in the room dominates. So you either get your hand up or you speak to them afterwards at the networking session. But the thing is, there is the opportunity. And you don't want to waste this opportunity, because whatever you're doing in life, how often do you come face to face with the experts or the people who can help you get your dream to the next level?
Right.
And that's what this is. It's a dream factory.
I that's really very true. And I like the idea of you're having the networking session after. I've been to a number of events where there'll be somebody who's notable, a venture capitalist or something, up on the stage. And when they're done, you never see them again. So there's no way for you to interact with them, but you've got built into the process that there's a networking possibility and potential for people to go talk to.
Yeah, have you know, it starts with a full hour of networking from 8 till 9, and then after the panels, there's a brief networking session. There's lunch breaks. There's networking breaks. Right. Because what we found with experience from doing this, yes. You get the knowledge from the stage, but you get the follow-up one-on-one. So, you know, anyone who goes to metropoleglobal.com and can see the agenda can see where the networking breaks are.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that you, sir, I don't want to lose this in the whole conversation, but it occurred to me that one of the things that all this crowdfunding has the capability of doing is to eliminate the need for friends and family financing. Which it sounds like a really great idea, but it's really not great money. Since most companies go out of business in their early stages, you know, if you've got it from friends and family, you've lost your friends, but you still have to put up with your relatives at every event that you have to go to.
Yes, it makes you want to not go home for Christmas sometimes.
Well, Christmas or anything else.
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, startups and most business failing. You know, if we reach beyond the hype, the number of startups created annually has actually fallen by about 20% since the 1970s.
Right.
And what's also interesting is that, you know, you'll hear a lot about grants for small and medium-sized businesses and special tax credits issued by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
But those are typically awarded to big corporations. Now, we want to find with this forum a sort of greater alignment between the objectives of federal and state agencies existing to support small businesses and innovative undertakings. People who've been to friends and family and Uncle Dave has said, look, I can't give you any more money. How do you reach beyond that?
Right.
And, you know, government grants is just one of the ways we will look into it, because I think for so many of your listeners, there's so much money out there that they're not aware of.
Right.
You know, that exists to help niche businesses, specific kinds of businesses, whether it's like a female-centric business or whatever it happens to be. There is plenty of money out there available if you know where to find it. But yes, you're right. You can't keep going back to the friends and family. You need to reach beyond that. And that's what the Alternative Funding Forum does. It helps you look beyond crowdfunding to grants. It looks at things like EB-5, for example,
right,
which is, you know, something that really fascinates me, a foreign investment program.
Yeah, actually, I still mentor a few clients that I've had for a few years. And some of these things are a skill. I actually have one client that I'm mentoring that has gotten over $9 million in federal grants. Because they're small and they're working on a medical device, and they've got them over a period of years, but they've gotten to be very good at identifying the best ones to be able to apply for and the process that you go to go over and get them, so they get them on a fairly consistent basis. So, you know, running into people, they're actually called SBIR or STTR, Small Business Innovation Resource Grants, because the federal government says that of the, I think it's 11 agencies, they all have to give 3% of their total budgets to small and medium-sized business. You just have to know how to do it.
You do, and, you know, grant writing, you know, is a skill yes. upon itself, and when you see all the forms, it can be overwhelming. It reminds me, being English, of when I applied for my green card. Like, seriously? This is longer than my dissertation at university. But if you keep your mind on the on the end game and where you're going to, you know, any system can be understood. And yes, it's worth filling in quite a long form online for what you get at the end. And what you were saying before about the grants being available links back to something I was saying before. You said about your friend's sort of medical device. It's identifying a problem and how you are going to help it. Because, yes, there's so many government agencies that exist to help businesses and grow the economy and help with different applications, medical or otherwise. Anything that's for the good of the country or for the good of the economy, you know, there's money out there. You just have to know where to find it and to be detailed and thorough enough to fulfill the application process. Because, you know, it's all about hard work. But as your listeners know, can't get anywhere without a lot of hard work.
Well, look, we're coming up on a commercial, so let me go to a commercial and we'll pick this up on the other side.